Well, as I saw that picture of Carl and the elephant, I remembered I was on an elephant, but it wasn't in Congo, it was in the mall here years ago with my family. I think we have a picture of that, right, Lorraine? Somewhere in your creative memory book, right? Well, we're studying the life of David through the Psalms, learning about some ups and downs with him, and I get to speak on a passage in 2 Samuel 23. If you need your Bibles, there's some over here. If you raise your hand and you need one, maybe the ushers could get that. Everybody have a Bible? Okay, a couple don't. That's great. You can go get them. As we approach 2 Samuel 23, we're really at the end of David's life. And it's recorded here that this is the last words of David that are written down. Certainly not his last words. But as we get into only one more chapter in Samuel and begin the book of Kings, as the Bible has, David's life's going to come to an end. So I thought through, you know, when you think about the end of your life, and just, you know, recently my dad passed away this past year, I thought about the things that he wanted to tell us while he was able to, and just again, expressions of his heart and all that God has done for him. And David has that same heart. And I wonder what we would say if we knew our life was coming to the end. What's neat about God is that he takes David's experiences, and although it's inspired by God, he's using the life of David to express to us truths that you and I need to hear. These are experiences that are real to David and close to his heart, and God uses that. And I'm just going to kind of work through this passage. I'm not going to read it all at once, but Jeremy, if you could put up there as we go, we're going to start in the verse. We're going to do verses 1 to 7 and work our way through this and kind of unpack these verses as we go. And I'm going to just stop along the way, and Jeremy's going to follow me. So if everyone has the scriptures, here we go. 2 Samuel 23, verse 1. These are the last words of David. The oracle of David, son of Jesse, the oracle of the man exalted by the Most High, the man anointed by God, the God of Jacob, Israel's singer of songs. I just want to unpack those four things that David highlights to us before he gets into the specific things God wants to tell us. First of all, David reflects and recognizes his heritage. He came from the family of Jesse. And I think it's important for us to know that he mentions that. There were things in David's life as a boy that were hard for him, and then there was great things that David went through as a boy in the family of Jesse. Certainly, one comes to highlight when Samuel came to anoint the king, David was kind of out there and no one really expected him to be even brought in until the very end when Samuel asked, if you remember that story, are there any others? Well, there's a little shepherd boy out there. So David recognizes that God had his hand in his life even with the family he was born in. The oracle, the man exalted by the Most High. David also recognized that God took him from a lowly position as a shepherd and raised him up. That's important for you and I to recognize. It's God who's really the one who wants to use us in an exalted place to raise us up so that we can be used by him. It also says the anointed, the man anointed by the God of Jacob. Anointed, there was three types of anointing in that day. One type was to just be anointed with perfume, kind of like what we kind of do today. We want to smell nice. This word anointing is used in Ruth 3, chapter 3, verse 3, when Naomi told her, get prettied up. We want to make a good impression on Boaz. So she anointed herself with perfume and a fragrance. Proverbs talks about that we put anointing on us so our face is bright and shiny, right? You ladies understand that. You look all bright and shiny. You must have anointed yourselves today. I did too after I shaved. I put anointing on. Also, it was used in medical aspects. Even in the embalming process, salve being put on sores and anointing that way. But there's a third way, and this is the third way is the way that David was expressing here. It's the anointing being a sacred anointing, where God would, even when the tabernacle was made and all the elements in the tabernacle, they anointed everything because it was set apart for God. And then even the priests were anointed. And then the kings were anointed, and David experienced that anointing. It's a way where you get set apart. Then it talks about, this is a wonderful phrase, Israel's singer of songs. Must have been great to be around David. Not only was he talented, but I'm sure he always had a song in his heart. Now, the Wasson family would call me the singer of the Wassons. If a word comes up, sometimes to Luanne's annoying, she gets annoyed with me, I just blurt out songs. I love to sing. And I think it's something that God put in my heart. Even as I was studying today, in this passage, some songs popped out, and we might do one. But it's neat to hear that David was recognized as the singer of songs. This is his last song that he writes. But he wrote so many. And you and I know, as we spend time in the Psalms, and the Psalms that David wrote, he expressed marvelous experiences of who God is in the down times and in the blessed times. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his name. Want to sing it? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Good. Don't be afraid to sing out all day long, expressing the truth about God. Now, I want to go back and just pick up on these four points that David expressed. The one, reflecting back on his heritage. I'm very aware that there's some of us here that had a wonderful heritage, born into a Christian family. That's my story, and my grandfather, and his father. I have a wonderful heritage that as a boy, I was taught the scriptures. And I want to encourage you to see that that's God's hand on my life, as he ordained me to be able to understand who God was as a boy through scriptures and receive Christ as my Savior as a boy. I'm also aware that some of us here didn't have that. And some even tragic with their heritage growing up. Not even maybe knowing your mom or dad. And there can be so many hurts there. Or you had a mom and dad, but the treatment of those parents were tough. Or there was things that happened within the family that brought hurts. I want to express to you today, as painful as that may have been, and hopefully you've walked through it, you need to know God has ordained that in your life for the purpose we're going to talk about today, getting right with God. If you're sitting here today having Christ in your heart, then you need to recognize that pain was used by God. God didn't and basically allowed that to come on to you, but he didn't do the evil or any of the sinful stuff that happened to you growing up. But God allowed it to bring you to the point where you would come to know him. Either way that you've experienced life, when you get to this point here, you and I need to realize that was ordained by God for the purpose of for you and I to come to know him. Nothing is more important than that. Embrace that. I'm not saying push the hurts away, but understand a loving God used that to bring us to the point of our need of him. And that is just powerful. Also this, recognize this too, that God exalted us from a place where we were far apart from him and raised us up into his presence. So we have, if we know Christ, have been exalted similar to David. Not a king, but certainly a representation of God and his child. That's a powerful point for us to understand. And we've been anointed by God. If you and I have Christ in our hearts, we have been given the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the anointing of oil, was a picture in the Old Testament of being anointed by the Spirit of God for service, being set apart from him. That's who you and I are. The Holy Spirit is residing in us so that we can be set apart for God's service. And then, Israel, singer of songs, God wants us to be singer of songs as well. The New Testament says this, sing with psalms and hymns and make music in your heart to the Lord. And I know some of you say, well, I can't sing. You know, I don't think I should sing. God gave you that voice he had, not to make it a wonderful, sweet voice, but that you would be able, out of your heart of experience, to be able to sing songs for what God has done. Please, please. Now, if you sing bad, you don't have to sing loud. But sing. Whenever you sense God working in your life and a song pops in, the joy of the Lord is there. Sing. Sing to the Lord. We sang that song today. God is worthy of our songs. And David was one guy who God touched to be able to sing songs. Verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His words was on my tongue. The God of Israel spoke. The Rock of Israel said to me. Four times now, God is David's telling us, this is God's stuff. Peter tells us that men of old spoke as God carried them along. So what we're about to hear, David is saying, this is God speaking through me. We want to hear what he says. But I do want to just punch out a word here and accentuate it. When it talks about the God of Israel spoke, the Rock of Israel said to me. As we've listened to George and Tim and Scott and Jeff, this is a word that pops out that David used. I didn't take the time to study this, but I would probably say David probably used the word rock or the picture of rock more than anyone else in the scriptures. And I think that's for a real reason. If you could show this picture here on the screen. All right, anybody know what this is? Okay. Janice knows, Dane knows. Janice used to work for them. Dane still does, right? Thank God you're still working, buddy. All right. When you see this rock, it pops out. This is the Rock of Prudential. I really don't know the substance of Prudential. I never was part of their insurance plan, but they've been around for a long time. And this is a symbol of a rock that won't move, all right? So they get across to their customers and to potential customers, we're rock solid. David wants us to understand that. Now, with David, he experienced times in his life that he needed to have a rock. You know, he fought bears and lions as a kid. He fought giants. He had the king trying to kill him. His own son was tried to overthrow him. He needed to have something that never moved. And the message here for us is that God is a rock. I want to just share, and I want to say this as tenderly and as carefully as I can, but I want to share one experience in my life that I really depended on God as a rock. LaWayne and I stood firm. You know, years ago in our history, and at the time of this period of our history here at Hope Community, we had five elders overseeing the church. And one was in the process of dying with cancer. And that was very, very hard for all of us here and for us as other elders who were personal friends to watch that process go through. And then we had another elder that fell into sin and really through the process was unrepentant. And that was another hard process as well. But in the midst of all that confusion, and for us as a church and leaders, there's some things that went on as Dom and Rich and I tried to lead this church that was pretty dark for us. There was a lot of things said, some things very hard, very mean. And we believe really not true, not warranted, but we understood the pain that everyone was receiving. And it was a time for me where accusations came pretty strong. And LaWayne and I, we could have said, we're out of here. We split. But God worked in our hearts that her and I spent time on our knees, fasting and praying, days and weeks. We decided to stand on the rock of Christ. And I want to tell you, through all that pain and all of us as a church working that through, God was faithful. I look back on that time, and I've had other times, but that time for me was absolutely significant in understanding who God is. He is a rock, and He did not let me fall. And I am so grateful to Him. And my heart is just to express to you that as we learn about who this God is and we hold on to Him, He will never, ever let us go. I can tell you that personally, and it's a powerful expression of His love for me and for us as a church. We've had many people outside the church as we went and got counseling to say that what we went through and not collapse or split or divide or close up our doors is a miracle. God saw us through that. And we've all encountered that pain. But I think I could say for all of us who went through that, God has been faithful. And we're still together. And we still love each other. And we can praise God for that. Now, let's listen to what David has to say through God speaking to him. Here's the first thing. When one rules, I'm in the middle of verse 3. When one rules over men in righteousness, when he rules in the fear of God, he is like the light of the morning at sunrise, on a cloudless morning, like the brightness after rain that brings the grass from the earth. What a wonderful description of two things that God is saying here when someone rules over men. And again, David is picturing this as himself, who was a king and ruled over everyone, but he's also foreshadowing the one who will come and rule over all mankind. And we're going to look on that a little bit. But listen, this is what he says. When one rules over men in righteousness, and when he rules in the fear of God. There's two things, you can write it down. If you're in leadership, you want to make sure those two things are part of your life. God is saying it's important. Righteousness and the fear of the Lord. If you want to turn to Isaiah chapter 11, I want to just read this for you quickly. David, through God, is really picturing the coming of Christ. Isaiah chapter 11. Verse 1, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, David's father. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of all understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness, he will judge the needy. With justice, he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. Again, a marvelous picture of the one to come, Christ. And if we go back to Samuel, David is depicting this as well. That the one who rules in righteousness, the one who rules in the fear of the Lord, is like the morning light at sunrise. How many love to see the sunrise? I mean, the picture here that God is giving us, that's what it's like to have someone who rules in righteousness. And a cloudless morning. Have you ever said that? Whoa, there's not a cloud in the sky. Gorgeous. That's the thought that God wants us to understand here. When Christ comes to rule, it will be magnificent. The brightness after the rain, that's coming. I think tomorrow is going to be nice. All right? And that brings the grass from the earth. This is marvelous. Then David, in the midst of that, makes this connection. Is not my house right with God? Has he not made with me an everlasting covenant? Arranged and secured in every part. Will he not bring to fruition my salvation and grant me my every desire? A better translation for those two verses there is that he is all my salvation and he is all my desire, and he will cause that to grow. Because it's not like David's going to have every desire he wants. The salvation that God has given us will cause us to have a desire for the Lord, and that's from him. This is a beautiful picture of what Jesus will do in our lives. And just a note here, as we look forward to Christmas coming and our Advent, I want to just, you don't have to turn with it, I want to read you a verse from Isaiah 55. We're going to be studying those passages during the week, the month of December. And it says this: give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promise to David. Again, David is saying, and Isaiah is saying, there's someone's coming who's going to live up to the standard that God has of ruling over men and women with righteousness and the fear of the Lord, and it's our Savior. And we can rejoice over that. God has made a covenant with David that will be forever. There's going to be a king who will reign forever. And you and I know it's Jesus. And we can rejoice over that. Now listen as we end these verses here from 1 to 7. But evil men are all to be cast aside like thorns, which are not gathered with the hand. Whoever touches thorns uses a tool of iron or the shaft of a spear. They are burned up where they lie. What a contrast between having a relationship with God that's going to be forever with him and those who are evil to be cast out. And just a note here, this tool of iron, if we go to Revelations, it talks about the king will rule with an iron rod or scepter. This is Jesus again carrying out justice for all the earth. Interesting, as we're going to be partaking in the Lord's Supper soon, that when he came to accomplish the work on the cross for our salvation forever, he was given a rod in his hand that was a reed that they beat him with. He took that on for you and I. When he comes again, he comes with a rod in his hand of iron and scepter to rule the nations in a powerful way. Justice and righteousness will be ours. And it's a wonderful picture. I'm going to ask the ushers that they would come forward. I want us to just prepare our hearts. But as they pass these out, and I want to just say this too. If you haven't got to the point yet that Christ is your Savior, that by faith you have recognized your need of him, God encourages us to pass the elements by. Or maybe even this week, you're just some things that you didn't walk with God in the right way. You need to take time to confess them. That's what this is about. This table is about forgiveness. And I just want you to take this opportunity As the men passed them out,